And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
It's Can-Can. Over 50 years of endless deals.
Now, Shopify does the Can-Can.
Endless deals at ShopRite's Can-Can Sale. Going on now. You can't miss it.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is being brought to you, as it is every week, by our awesome VIP major spoilers. People from all around the world who want to see us grow, want to see us do more good things, and all I can do is say thank you, major spoilers VIPs. And if you're not a major spoilers VIP, all I can do is say please check us out, members.majorspoilers.com. Sign up and feel all the warmth and goodness tingling through your body. It all happens at members.majorspoilers.com. It's true. It is totally true. All that good stuff happens when you become a Major Spoilers VIP. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Steven Schleicher. And I'll be honest with you, I may be kind of laughing and giggling right now, but inside, I'm not feeling so good. I'm not feeling so good. Let's answer this phone call. Somebody's jumped in instantly right away. Let's just answer this phone call. Get this out of the way. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Sure.
What's going on with you, Bill?
I had returned from New York Comic Con, and it was a sight to behold.
All right. So you only went for the one day?
I just went for the one day. My wife is coming home from a business trip, so my signing was last night, but I got up nice and early and had a chance to just walk around and soak in the sights. It was fantastic.
Excellent. I've seen a lot of pictures from the floor. It looks really busy there this year.
Absolutely. It was pretty packed. I mean, it was, you know, I'm sure it's not as big as San Diego, but for me, it was pretty big and pretty impressive.
Excellent. Well, how did your book signing go?
It went fantastic. I was leery. You know, it's a digital book that's not out for another month and a half, but they printed up copies and they went within minutes. So there was a line, and when the books went, and I was signing postcards for free digital downloads. It was a lot of fun. It was really tremendous.
All right. So what's on your mind this week?
Nothing much. I just wanted to call and report back some of the fun stuff at New York Comic Con. I mean, I think the most jaw-dropping thing that I saw was the cosplayer walking around in an 8-foot, fully functional Iron Man Hulkbuster armor.
A lot of people have been talking about this. I have not seen any pictures yet. I saw a number of people talking about it on social media, but I have not seen anyone actually post any pictures yet.
So if you go to Dan Slott's Twitter account, he linked to somebody on Tumblr that had like 10 seconds of video, and you can hear the servos moving. It was so well done. I thought it was affiliated with Marvel, but apparently it was just a cosplayer.
Oh, neat. Now, this is not the one that was on display in was it Japan a couple of weeks ago?
I'm not sure. I got there, and within 20 minutes of being there, you know, there was one of the aisles was completely clogged and nobody was moving. I'm wondering what's going on. And all of a sudden this guy walks by and you could hear the servos moving.
Oh, that's cool.
And when Dan Slott was tweeting about it later, he's like, this guy wins Comic-Con. So I don't actually think he was affiliated with Marvel.
That's a really awesome job. I'm looking at a picture of it right now that I was able to pull up over on, what's the site, outerplaces.com. And it looks really cool. That is,
I don't
know
how he got it in or how he assembled it, but kudos to that guy.
There is a guy that is 3D printing his own Hulkbuster armor. It's probably, it doesn't look as nice as this, although, you know, the guy is doing an excellent job of it. But I don't think he'd ever had any plans to bring it to the United States because it is so big and bulky and he'd have to import it. But it looks about the same size as the one that I've seen being printed before. But this guy's done a fantastic job.
It was really impressive. I mean, the amount, you know, the cosplay, the level was, it was great. I got there within 20 minutes. I bump into somebody and it's Dan Slott. So I actually got to meet him. I'm a huge fan of Dan Slott. He wasn't even at the booth. I just heard his voice and I've listened to enough podcasts with him on. I said, excuse me, are you Dan Slott? And sure enough, we got a picture with him. I got to meet, Kieran Gillen and, Jamie McKelvey from Wicked and Divine.
Right.
Went to the Kevin Smith panel. A lot
How
of fun.
Was that?
Great time.
How was the Kevin Smith panel?
It was good. It was for Comic Book Men, but, you know, he did most of the talking. But it was pretty interesting. I mean, I'm a fan of his, and it was nice just to be in the back and actually listen live for a change.
Cool. So did, so going back to your signing real quick, did you have a lot of people come up and talk to you?
I did. I think a lot of people were fans of the imprint, and the cover is pretty striking. It had a big poster, and also just the word is really starting to get out. That was, I was leery. I'm like, wow, Thursday, a signing from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. I didn't think anybody would be there, but there was a steady stream of people, and it was pretty wonderful.
Yeah. Check it out. Listeners, head over to majorspoilers.com, click on that Amazon link, and then do a search for The Beast of Barcroft. This is an electronic book put out by Bill. And it looks very interesting. I already pre-ordered mine, so I know you sent me a galley copy, but I went ahead and pre-ordered one anyway. It's only $2 or $3, right? So
you're
as well help.
You're a good man.
You might as well help spoilerites around the world wherever you can. But it looks like if you are into some horror and you're into some cryptozoology type stuff, then you might want to check out The Beast of Barcroft by Bill Schweigert.
But it was fun. It was a great con. It was. Thank you for your tips. Thank you for the hand sanitizer tips. Thank you for the power bar tips. I was
good.
I was definitely flagging by 3 p.m. So the power bar really coasted me through. So
good. Excellent. All right, Bill. Well, thanks so much, man.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
I'm so glad Bill had a good time at the show. And I think that's one of the nice things about going to a convention is that you do get a bump into creators. You do get to bump into people who you just are fans of. And sometimes it's nice when you bump into somebody and they turn out to be a fan of yours. So good luck, Bill, on that book. And again, it's The Beast of Barcroft. Go check it out over at Amazon if you want to go ahead and grab it. It's an electronic book, $2.99. Come on. Help Bill out. And he's already got another book in the works. He's already got one printed. It's called Slipping the Cable that he talked about a little bit last week. And then the sequel to The Beast of Barcroft, what the heck is that one called? I don't think there's a cover for it yet. It's called North Woods. So there you go with that. So good on you, Bill. So let me ask you guys a question. This is what's got me troubled. Oh, here comes James. Here comes James. I'm never going to get to my topic. That's okay. Because this show works best when you call in and share your thoughts and ideas and whatever that you want to talk about. So let's go to James. James, what's going on with you, man?
Hey, Steven. Happy Friday.
Hey, thank you. Happy Friday to you, too.
Oh, it's been a heck of a week, and I am ready for just the weekend. I don't know. It's not like I'm going to get any sleep. I've got kids, so, you know.
I know how that is. Yep. Ours routinely wakes up either at midnight, 2:30, or 4:30, and he's 4, and it's just he wakes up and he can't go back to sleep, so he starts screaming out for mom to come sit with him until he falls back to sleep, and it's just becoming a big headache.
Yeah, no, ours, last night I was up at 1:30 because one of the 14 month olds just started screaming and I took her downstairs and I was like, okay, we're going to sit in the chair. She gets quiet. Okay. I'll just go put her down. Nah! Nope. 3 hours of that. I'm not kidding you. 3 hours of that. So, you know, hey, it's a cost of being a parent, I guess.
Exactly.
So, this week, you know, I have been excited to see, I was really excited about Doctor Who last week. I cannot wait to see what they're going to do this week. So that's very the, pumped up for that.
With something under the lake or something, TARDIS under the lake, or I forget what the title of the that arc was.
Under the lake deep or whatever. Really, I'm so happy that they finally turned the corner. I was so afraid after last season that this wasn't going to be as good as it is. And it's really kicked out. Let's see, what else am I doing?
This is like the second underwater one that they've done. Last season they did that Nazi submarine boat one that I didn't watch that one. It looked kind of lame.
It was
and now
bad.
They've got this underwater space base or underwater base thing that's haunted by ghosts, space ghosts.
Well, it seems like in the last 3 years they've done an underwater one because they did the Nazi one, and then the year before that they did the Martian whatever with
Waters
Matt Smith.
Of Mars. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, okay, I get it. People are afraid of being under the water and suffocating or whatever, but they're not even playing on that, so it's kind of weird. One podcast I want to throw your way, which I don't know if you're listening to it or not.
I don't know.
If you're not, you and Zach should be.
Okay.
It's Hooray for Garbage Town. Have you heard of this?
No, I have not heard of Hooray for Garbage Town. What is it about? Tell me.
Okay, so you've got two producers who – well, not two producers. One writer and one director. And they both go to film – they both went to UCLA film school, and then they're trying to make it big. And they've had some minor success. They worked on Bad Parent and a couple other small things. And they basically have this podcast where they're bringing in people who you normally wouldn't hear from, like other EPs, and they had an editor this last week that was really, really good. And talking about, you know, why does LA stink and why is it terrible? And
I've had this conversation with people before.
Yeah. Why is it so bad out here? And why is this just such a problem? And then talking about their successes and why are we still here? Why are we so insane? And why are we so crazy to keep doing this?
Right.
So yeah, I if you haven't listened to it and you're a fan of Hollywood and the movies and making sausage, this is definitely a great podcast. I will warn you, it is NSFW. So don't listen to it.
That doesn't bother me. That bothers me not at all with the shows that I listen to. Right now, as far as the movie specific ones, I've got Junk Food Cinema on my list.
That's a good one
that I listen to. And then I was listening to the guys that do the horror movies. But I unsubscribed to that because their shows were getting to be like 3 hours long and I just can't, there's only one show that I can deal with that's 2.5 hours long. And that's the, Art Bell show, but everything else, if it starts to get 3 hours long, it just eats up too much of my day and I'm already 2 weeks behind on podcasts as it is. So.
Yeah, no, I'm trust me with, and it's not a disrespect in any way, shape or form as I am a gold VIP member.
Sure you are.
I listen to all the MSP stuff, plus all the Diamond Club stuff, plus all the Frog Pants stuff. And after a while, it's too much stuff and you just
I totally understand. Sometimes you got to figure out, you know, there are times where I'll be watching or listening to Marc Maron or something. And it's like, you know, this topic doesn't interest me or this person doesn't interest me. Or I'll listen to 10 minutes of the interview and it's like, this isn't doing it for me. So I'll skip it. There were a couple of podcasts this week, Adam Carolla podcasts or a couple of weeks ago, that I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to listen to these.
Turned down Adam Carolla?
Yeah, anytime he does his live shows, it's kind of the same. It's a lot of the time it's the same shtick, so I tend to skip those episodes. I don't listen to Kevin Smith's shows as much as I used to. I'll still occasionally listen to the Fat Man on Batman or the Hollywood Babylon, but it's just it's a time commitment, and as things start to adjust and interests start to adjust, it's like, hey, let me listen to this NPR show, or hey, this you know, person has got me kind of interested to at least try out this other show. So some things have to drop off and I totally understand that.
There's a new one that I'm kind of slowly, it's a slow burn. I'm trying to get into it a little more. It's, you know how the guys, they did the, Star Wars Minute. And so there's Ron Richards and a couple other guys are doing a Goodfellas Minute. And that's actually really kind of interesting when you stop and look at, like, they actually break down, like, a couple of them grew up in that area and like, okay, well, I remember this. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting take, but, you know, they say it's a minute and it really stands out to be like a half an hour and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
But no, I wanted to call in and definitely recommend Hooray for Garbage Town, because it is definitely something you and Zach both would love to listen to.
Okay.
And,
yeah, definitely. I would love to listen to it. I love the behind the scenes and the pulling back the curtains, because it helps me understand more going forward where the problems lie. And I think once you understand a little bit on how the sausage is made, and once you understand what's driving a television network, a podcast network, a radio station, a TV station, a movie studio, whatever it may be, once you understand what's driving those, then it's real easy to say, hey, you know what would be a good idea is for them to explore, you know, the damage control and do a TV show of damage control. And then suddenly, hey, ABC's doing a pilot for damage control. It's so a lot of times people are like, oh, Steven, you're predicting these things. It's no. Once you understand the trend and the direction that they're going, it's very easy to get on that road and catch up to them. So anybody can do it.
No, I totally agree. And I think the only other thing that seems interesting to me with regard to listening to these stories is they're actually telling stories. It's not just like, okay, here's the cut and the dry and the blah, blah, blah. No, it's here's how my experience garnered. Right. And I think I get more out of it when they're telling a story rather than just a, you know, just almost reading off of a script. And
how long are these episodes?
Garbage Town can go long. They go about 30 to 45 minutes sometimes.
That's not too bad. But usually it looks like most of these are broken up into two parts.
Yeah. Jenny Josephson, who you should probably know that name from DTNS. Mm-hmm. She's the producer on that. And she breaks it up she makes sure that it is in digestible bits. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to listen to how they dive into it and how they break it out, because when they cut it at a natural spot where it's like, it's not like a cliffhanger. It's a natural cut where it's like, okay, well, this topic's over. And then you start the next episode and it's like, okay, now we're going to pick up with something different, but it's the same person. So it flows. It's a really nice flow. And she does a really good job with the cuts.
Excellent. So, now, wasn't she at Nerdtacular with her husband?
Yeah. She and Matt Flanagan were both at Nerdtacular. Matt Flanagan,
that's her husband. Yep. He was on the panel with us. So yeah.
Yeah, Matt's crazy. I need to get him on the show.
I would love to talk with him more.
He's hilarious. I think he got picked up on a new project. I don't know what he's doing yet, but I kind of heard he got picked up on a project, which is good. And then Jenny's also doing her Tell It Anyway show, which is that's a really good show if you just want to listen to a show. Where they bring on three people and they have one simple topic and they have to tell like a 10-minute story each. And it's some of them are funny, some of them are sad, but if you're looking for good podcasts, trust me, there are plenty of good podcasts out there don't have to listen to NPR anymore.
No, here's what I like about the NPR stuff is, and it's not, I shouldn't say NPR. Some of it is truly NPR, like This American Life. But like Reply All and what the heck are these other ones that I'm listening to? The ones that Gimlet Media are putting out. Radio Lab. I mean, there's something about telling a story that I think is fascinating. And it's, you know, to me, the stuff that they put out is a little bit different than just say an interview, like you and I having a conversation, which is fascinating as well. I love doing interviews with people and I love talking with people. But to take that interview and turn it into an audio documentary, I just love that. And I can't get enough of a well-told story that's done in that way. And it seems like the only people that I really get this out of are the people that have worked at NPR, the people that have come up through This American Life and the Gimlet Medias and those kinds of things. So that's what interests me a lot. And so that's why I end up getting hooked on that. So if there are other shows like that, that do that, then yeah, I'll be all over those.
It seems to me that what it comes back down to is podcasting is becoming one of three genres. You either have the old radio shtick of, you know, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus when I say this, but you have the old radio shtick of comedy kind of podcasts. Mm-hmm. You have the shtick of news and factual information podcasts.
Right.
And you have the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because you can have a nice little mix of whatever little click you want to, but I keep getting drawn to the stories because I'm like you. I mean, I think that's kind of the reason why we like going to the movies and why we like getting drawn into comic books and these other things. It's about the story. If there's not a good story, then what's the point?
Right. So. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, this is some great points there, James.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend, sir. And I look forward to Critical Hit. I'm sure I will be shocked and awed at this week.
I
so
what's going on this week. Let me look. I've got the look right here. You mentioned that. I've got right here in front of me the actual notes from the show. Oh, too bad I flashed that up there. Let's see.
No.
What was last week? Oh, last week's title of last week's show was 138.
Yep.
Oh. I think if you paid attention to the I think if you paid attention to the pre-roll audio clip, especially right there at the end. Oh no, maybe I didn't do it last week. Well, let's just say yeah, I think you'll be shocked.
Fair enough. I'm ready for shock and awe. So
well, okay. I think you'll be shocked once you realize, oh wait. So there you go. All right, that's all I'm gonna say. Thank you, James.
Enough.
Have a great weekend. Bye. I could have swore it was either in this past week's or the weeks before I said something about episode 319 and what the title of that was. Let's give Paul a call since he has been trying to call in a couple of times while I was on the phone. Let's see if he picks up. Now he probably won't pick up on me. 785-727-1939. That is the number that you want to call. I guess Paul is not going to pick up, but if you're out there, Paul, you can give me a call back and we will get you on. Let's see, a ton of Frog Pants shows, Feral Audio and Nerdist shows, more of the German shows. That's what Fabian's listening to. Yeah, there's a lot of them. I think my podcast count is now up to over 70 shows that I'm trying to listen to on a regular week. And fortunately, some of them are not out on a weekly basis. All right. How about we do this? Let me find it here really quick. I think this is it. Let's go to a recording that was left and play it. Oh, here comes Paul. Let's get Paul in. Hey, Paul, I didn't want to hang up on you again.
Oh, no. Sorry, Stephen. It was my fault more than yours.
No. What's going on?
Not a lot. Well, actually, I don't know. I was waiting. Well, I was watching the live stream, and I was hoping to be able to call in. And I don't know.
Well,
it was really interesting, the kind of conversation about podcasting that you guys were having.
Okay. So
yeah,
what,
like,
share your thoughts.
Share my thoughts, crikey. yeah, no, I don't know. I think there's lots of good, like, narrative-based podcasts out there, and I think there's lots of really great stuff, and I think it's really interesting to I don't know, America has a very different, like, podcasting environment to, say, like, the UK, which is where I'm based.
Right.
And it's really interesting to hear about, like, all the stuff that's going on over there and compared to the stuff that's kind of going on over here. But there's lots of great shows that I listen to on both sides of the pond, and I think it's really interesting to hear you guys talk about that type of stuff, and especially considering you're kind of like, you know, you're kind of making your life out of this, and it's just really fascinating to find out more about what's going on.
Oh yeah. Now, there's at least one UK podcast that I listen to. It's the Audio Drama Production Podcast. I don't know exactly where they're located out of. I want to say they're north of London. I don't know exactly what part of England they're from. And then there's another one that I don't see just popping up here in my list, instantly, but I do enjoy trying to listen to as many podcasts as I can. And I do like listening to the audio drama podcast. So in addition to something that tells a good story, if there's a show like, Black Tapes Diaries, which is really cool. It is kind of following along, trying to do something like Serial did, but they're doing it about the paranormal and it's totally a made up story, but things like that capture my attention as well. And so, I think that there's an audience out there for just about anything. In fact, I know that there's an audience out there for just about anything. I went to the, Kansas City Podcasters meetup last month, and there was a young woman there who, I know this sounds really crazy, but she has a blog and she's an artist that creates jewelry and stuff out of human hair. And apparently this is an old technique. This is an old technique that was very popular in England during the Victorian era. And she studied it and she's got, I think, a master's degree in this. And she'd come to the podcaster meetup because she was thinking about doing a podcast for that. And I was like, well, you know what? There's probably an audience for that. You might as well try it and see what happens. So, I think
crazy that, go for it.
Yeah.
Well,
and go ahead.
Yeah, no, as I said, that's mad. That's absolutely mad. I mean, there's quite a few, I don't know. There's a few ones recently. Going back, you kind of mentioned Radiolab when you were talking to the previous caller, and I really thought it was interesting when they were talking in the most recent show about how it all comes from like them telling a story,
right.
And them kind of and that's what it all begins around with, and that I think, and that kind of ties in what you were mentioning about the Black Tape, as well. In that, like, you know, I love the way they use. I think they use. I haven't gone back and checked, but I pretty much think they use the same kind of music and
it's very
the same
similar
kind of audio cues as Serial, it really gives that kind of it's the wrong terminology I imagine, but it's that the same kind of mise-en-scène as you get in films where they're kind of cribbing. It's almost like a it's almost like found footage in a way. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's exactly what they do, and it's well done. And if you're a fan of Paranormal and Serial, then if you want something that's total fantasy fun, it's that show. The only problem that I have with that one is they don't have a super accurate release schedule, and that's the only problem that I have with it.
Yeah, and I will say the episode where they were talking about the bit set in England wasn't necessarily the best researched. Because they were talking about King Arthur, like he was actually a king. There never really was a King Arthur. So I don't know. They can be a bit off the ball sometimes. But, like, I don't know. I really got on board with that one. And one of the other ones I found recently, I went on holiday and so kind of went online and to kind of shotgunned my feed and picked up a few new different things to go along, of course, with all the major spoiler network stuff that you guys obviously are putting out. I checked out Lore, which I don't know you might have heard of, L-O-R-E, as in, and it's all about the stories behind the stories of things. So there's like a really great episode that's talking about like the hotel that that inspired Stephen King to write The Shining, or Margaret Atwood, who is quite a famous author, and how her, I think it was her great-great-grandmother, well, it's a bit of a spoiler really, her great-grandmother was like hung, well, was they she was lynched by a group of people like chasing down witches because they thought she was a witch, and so she survived the hanging. And it's all about like kind of the stories behind the stories and stuff. It's really interesting. I'd highly recommend it if you haven't checked it out.
Looking at their website right now, and I'm looking at probably the episode you were just talking about, episode 12, Half Hanged.
That's it. And, like I've kind of ruined the ending, unfortunately.
No, that's fine. I think the title kind of gives it away.
True, but it's great. I don't know. It's really solidly produced. I will say one thing I did think actually was I wondered how he's getting away with some of the copyright because he was the music in the background he talks about a little bit and I don't know, part of me did think, have you paid for that? It's a great podcast, but it did make me think. I don't know, as someone who's kind of media related in industry, I'm thinking that would probably be quite expensive royalties wise.
let's see they've got music from episode 12 here. It says My Piano, The Clouds, You Never Walk Alone, Unfound, On the Dark Side, and Hold On to the Dream. Now you do need to pay for those things, but these are look like he's getting them all from SoundCloud. So if the creator has put this music up there, then and they have a Creative Commons license attached to it, then, you know, they're saying it's okay to do that kind of stuff. Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, no, it's very atmospheric. It's great. There was a bit where I think he used some Trent Reznor stuff, and he mentioned, this is from Trent Reznor. And I would just, and I suddenly went, did he let you use that?
Probably not, I'm going to guess. Probably not.
Probably not. I don't know, unless you know him.
that's why I say probably not, but yeah.
But it's great. I mean, it's so atmospheric. It suits it so well. I mean, to be honest, if I was a musician, I'd be so happy that something so well produced was using it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really well put together.
Now, show, the Audio Drama Production Podcast, they had an episode not too long ago where they interviewed somebody who does music, who composes music. And he talks about how as long as he's not on some other big gig, he will create music for other people's podcasts, specifically audio drama stuff, and create the moods and basically score your podcast for you. And they've got all of his contact number and stuff. I think he's in Connecticut is where he's at. But, you know, there are people that will do that. And I think that creating music for podcasts, especially audio drama podcasts, is going to be a kind of a niche market for a lot of people who are in the music industry, where it's like, hey, somebody needs to have a quick piece cranked out. I'll crank out a 2-minute song, $25, and it's going to be original for that podcast. One of the problems that we have in podcasting and really all over the place is you're either going to go to a service like Premium Beat or somebody like that, and you're going to pay $80 to be able to use songs from that, or you're going to pull off of a GarageBand audio library. And that's what we have in
so
a lot of people ask.
Used.
Yeah. And that's the problem. I mean, people ask all the time, oh, what's that opening theme song that you use for Critical Hit? Well, when we were doing Critical Hit, the only stuff that I'd had access to was the stuff that Apple provided in their Apple Loops and sound library collection. And so I used just a track from that. And now for a lot of our YouTube channel stuff, I'm going to Premium Beat. But as you kind of just mentioned, once you start going to a music library service, then there's a good chance that other people have used that song or will use that song. And in the early days of Critical Hit, people would contact us all the time, said, oh, the Marines are using that song for one of their commercials, or, oh, I heard the song on the Daily Show or something like that. And it's like, well, you know, that happens. So I think that there's probably going to be a growing business for musicians, composers, to crank out these really quick 2-minute or less pieces for $25 to $50 that are going to be original and unique to a particular podcast.
Sure. No, yeah. I think it's weird. The industry is kind of developing around itself and mm-hmm. kind of strangely, the kind of jobs within the media are
right.
kind of spreading out and becoming a lot more common. I think it's becoming more common that like you can be a local musician and you mm-hmm. can make your money through producing music for
right.
these kind of products. And
right.
it's getting to and hopefully over the next few years, and more so as it's kind of developing, especially since, I mean, crikey, what were we talking about? Like the internet's been, the podcasting's been around since what,
10 years, 2005 is essentially what most people use as that benchmark. Some people were doing some stuff before, but, you know, we've been around for 10 years.
Yeah, it's 10 years. We're 10 years into an industry, and I think that's kind of spreading out. And I think mm-hmm. what's great is, as someone who's always grown up with a love of kind of like, I can't think of a better way, but how do I put it? Like, you know, radio. Like,
yeah.
In the UK, we've got like the BBC. So
yeah.
you have, you know, radio. So we kind of grown up, weirdly, mm-hmm. I've kind of grown up with a certain kind of caliber of radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really great to see. I love the radio, and I have really fond memories of DJs and radio shows and things that mm-hmm. I listen to, and not because we're super old-fashioned in the UK and we listen to radio all the time, but, you know, just because it was kind of part of culture, and
yeah.
it's really great to see that, like, that's so such a vibrant and lively scene now, and now,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who've been doing podcasts like yourself for a while, you know, are suddenly being able to turn that into their jobs, and it's not so much this kind of little cottage industry that it once
mm-hmm.
was when there were so few channels to access.
Right.
It's making it so accessible to everyone, and you're getting,
yeah.
you know, and yeah, like I know artists and musicians, and I wouldn't say they're necessarily quite making their living from doing the stuff that they do now, but they, you know, they make money from their graphic design work or their,
mm-hmm.
the songs they write
mm-hmm.
because. People are contacting them and saying, can I use this for my
right.
podcast, or can I, you know, and that's really great, because I think that kind of, it means it's not so niche anymore,
mm-hmm.
because especially in the UK, which is quite a smaller community
right.
than the States, like, and all our regional TV broke up, and all our regional kind of, a lot of our regional arts has broken up over the last kind of 20, 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and everything is very based in London, basically,
right.
and that makes those jobs really highly competitive and very cutthroat, and
yeah.
and it's really nice to now see that kind of spreading out, and not just through the UK, but also through like the rest of the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew nothing about where you lived, you know, until I started listening to Major Spoilers,
right?
You know, and now, you know, I know there's a McDonald's up south and there's a McDonald's up in the north, and you know, it's.
Yeah.
You know, it really spreads your kind of
well, and
your
I think
understanding of the world.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the nice things, too, is that with podcasting and really with anything online, you don't have to be located in a major metropolis to make a living out of doing it or to work in that industry. And, you know, there are times where, yes, I wish I was in the Los Angeles area so that I could have access to more media guests and more, you know, those kind of outlets. But, you know, I'm in the middle of...
I imagine that would make it easier. Like, I don't know, those podcasts that come out of kind of LA region, you do notice that they can get people a lot easier.
Right.
You know, there's a lot easier but, to get a guest. And like, I mean, you were talking about trying to get people in to do and Skype in the issues in Gail Simone and things on the major spoilers.
Right.
And yeah, and that must be so difficult to kind of manage in some respect when you're slightly isolated from things.
Yeah, well, I am within 100 miles, less than 100 miles, of the geographic center of the United States. So I'm literally in the middle of nowhere doing this. And, you know, the great thing is that I'm able to reach out to people like you, Paul, who are in the UK or people who are in Utah or people who are in Florida or Australia or Mexico, wherever they may be. You know, we're able to reach those people and do these kinds of things. And we're making that connection with you that I think is really, really important. And it just goes to show that everybody has a story to share. And because of podcasting and because it is so accessible, more people can access it. And I think it does make us a little bit more connected.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Completely agree. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I've found over the last few years, really, my media consumption, you know, like I teach media studies. I'm big into film and radio and podcasting and all kinds of different types of media. But more and more, I find myself drawn towards the podcasting just because there's such a great community around it, and like you can get very, I don't know, like I could phone you tonight and get on and chat to you. Like
that's
so great.
And the interesting thing, too, and it's funny that you mentioned your instructor, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. A fellow colleague of mine is in his audio production is just like, hey, this year we're going to start talking about podcasting and start doing podcasts in our class. And I was like, well, you know, I have taught a podcasting class multiple times at the university. I was trying to make it a key part of the media foundation that the students were doing when I was teaching there at the university. But I think one of the nice things about doing like a YouTube video or doing a podcast or just an online video or audio in general is that it's a microcosm of production. And so for students, it's a great outlet for them to actually get something out there that they're creating and producing and make mistakes and learn and do all of those kinds of things. But they have, when they release a podcast or when they release a video, they are essentially doing the exact same thing that the big networks and the big companies are trying to compete with. And we can see companies like the BBC jumping all over this. We see NPR jumping on this, CBS, ESPN, all these companies are jumping on this because they know that this is a place that they can go out to. But I think this is also an excellent opportunity for students to get a very inexpensive camera like what I have here, some software that cost me less than $400 to get this streamed out there, and a YouTube account. Couple of lights that cost probably $200 or $300. And there you go. For less than $1,000, people can be doing this. And I think that's fantastic.
It's amazing. I mean, some of the work that my students produce recently, like I've got some particular students in the last kind of year or two, and it makes you feel really old. I'm 32, but I think back and I go, crikey, when I was 18, we had VHS tapes,
right.
We had SVHS tapes, and that was, and you know, and we were like, we're privileged compared to some places.
Yeah.
We've got two VHS decks, so we can like actually edit
you can
something.
Edit. Yeah.
And you know, and there's so many tools. And what I find really great is that, it's weird. There's the students, I teach probably slightly younger than you. I teach 14 to 18. That's why I teach. And I find it's really odd because some of them come with so many skills and talents regarding kind of production. It's unbelievable. You know, they've been working, they've been editing. Oh, I make videos of me doing like BMX stuff. And you look at it and you go, that's practically professional. You know, if you put that on YouTube and you know, that would, no one would presume that was amateur in any way, shape at all.
Right.
Or, you know, or the quality of lighting of some of the stuff. Like one of my students, he wants to be an actor, But he's never been like really in, our school's never really done much drama. So he's written about 20 scripts.
Wow.
And since I showed him how to use Celtex, which is a script.
Yeah,
show,
oh, I love that
like,
script.
He wrote stuff before, but yeah. now he's been using that ever since. And he came in and was like, here's a big book of scripts I've basically written for shorts. And what's great is that he's already taken on board like things about like budget and scale and going like use locations you can get to, don't try and do ridiculous things, you know. And so many young people have these skills without even realizing that's kind of a skill of media that's really important within like production. They're almost kind of, it's almost innate to them. But then also there's this weird idea that everyone presumes young people will have these kind of innate skills regarding IT and technology.
Yes.
And I think that's not true. I mean,
I totally agree with you. Oh, if you want to get me angry. Okay. Here's me getting angry. So I was chair of a department.
Get angry.
Yeah. I was chair of a department for how many years? I think it was 5 years I was chair of the department. But our department is composed of media studies. It's composed of computer networking, web development, management information systems, and what's the other one that we have? There are like five different areas. But
that's quite
one
broad.
Of the courses, I know, it's very diverse. For anyone that is a chair of a department like that, it's very hard to manage because everybody is dealing with very different specific areas, which is maybe it's a little bit different than having like the English department or something like that. But in our management information systems, they are the ones that teach the basic computer course, how to use Word, how to use PowerPoint, how to use a spreadsheet, and use them and use those skills that they gain in that course to help them in other courses throughout their university process, whether it be how to write a paper, preparing a presentation, or for most of these kids who go into a management marketing or an economic and finance course, they're learning some basic spreadsheet skills that will then be pushed upon so that they can learn more.
Yeah.
University, and this is the thing that I had to fight with, the course is still around, thank goodness, but the thing I had to fight with almost every year was the fact that we don't need to have these kids take this MIS 101 course because it's computer skills. They already know how to do Word and they already know how to do PowerPoint and Excel. And it's like, no, they don't.
No,
but there's this idea in education that because kids like my kids have access to iPads and computers at a very early age, that they're going to inherently know how to do all of these things and do them professionally when they get up to a university level. So why even teach that kind of stuff? And there's starting to be some of that. I see some of that stuff kind of floating around on the media studies side as well. It's like, well, they've been using cameras all their life. I mean, do we really need them to take a basic video class? And the answer is, yes, we need them to take a basic video class because they don't know anything about it.
Do they need to know the differences between these different codecs?
Exactly.
Yes, of course they need to know the difference between these different codecs. How do they understand how...
Well, just,
like, how do they... I can't even begin to explain why they need to obviously understand those types of things.
Just the basics of take your cell phone that you've been shooting and turn it from vertical to horizontal and then use the rule of thirds. That is something that I can't even get my students right now to comprehend basic composition stuff, and it's frustrating when we're approaching
stuff. I'm glad it's not just you, because I teach kids a lot younger. I teach kids like 4 years younger than you, and I find it frustrating. And I'm like, how do you not get this?
We were doing basic lighting this week, and I said, okay, so one of the things that I want you guys to do is go out and do a typical man on the street, and I want you to use the environment, or if you want to take some portable lights that are battery operated, take some portable lights, but go out into the quad and just shoot a man on the street and make it look aesthetically pleasing with the lighting techniques that we've talked about this week. And I said, you know, you could go shoot during golden hour, but do not go and shoot at night.
Mm-hmm.
I got 20 students in the class. 5 of them turned in a project today that was shot at night.
Really?
It's frustrating. It's really, really frustrating.
I know. Yeah. No, I completely agree. Completely agree. You know, I think that's the funny thing is like, I don't quite understand what the difference is between those students who do naturally understand these things and the idea that we should just presume everyone understands. Like, someone can have an eye for composition, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they know how to change the aperture or the ISO or, you know, sorry not to get too nerdy about this.
No, but I'm like, totally nerd up on that stuff.
But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you know how to do those types of things.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very difficult. It's very difficult to communicate. Because I think in some respects they're quite creative skills. And I don't know how, the situation you necessarily work in, but the one I find, you know, there's very much, you know, have they hit this level? This needs to be done by here. This needs to be done by this date. You need to have some assessment by here.
Right.
And it's like, and some of those things are things that, you know, someone, you could teach someone for 2 years, and then in the last 6 months they get it, and suddenly they understand what you've been teaching them about and talking to them about, and they turn around and go, oh, actually, I went and watched that film you were talking about, and I see what you mean about how they, you know, how that character was in the middle, you know, I don't know, Mad Max Fury Road. Well, everything's in the center of the screen, so the audience understands, so the audience can follow the all the action really easily, so it actually makes it really accessible as a movie, and they're like. Yeah, or they watch a Tim Burton movie and go, oh, so that's like German Expressionism. Because, and you're like, yes. You know, but for the last 18 months, you've shown no acknowledgement of that skill.
Right.
And now it doesn't tie in. And you know, suddenly, you know, and there's like, oh, well, like, they're not progressing as well as you should do.
Right. And I think that goes back to this idea that everybody kind of learns at their own pace. I mean, even Zach, you know, the whole point of doing Zach on film was to expose him to more of these things. And it was probably, I don't know, 6-8 months. And he had already, you know, we'd already been teaching him, you know, I taught him, he graduated and we were doing Zach on film. And it's like, you know, he's very creative, very knowledgeable, but, you know, suddenly there's a point where we're having a discussion about the meaning of the film and what's the point and getting the message across. And I don't remember what episode it was, but you can hear me clearly say, Zach, there's nothing else for you to learn. You've got it.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically from then onward, it's like, well, I don't know why we're doing this show anymore, because we still have a bunch of films to talk about. But Zach now finally understood what the point of all this was.
How to understand film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so it's challenging. It's challenging. So
it's difficult.
We started out on a conversation about podcasts, and now we're talking about education.
Yes. Sorry. Well, you know, I think it's all kind of related, you know. But no, I will say I have recommended Zach on Film to my film students to suggest they listen to some of those and you know, and from the beginning, which is interesting, as you say, about it gets to the point where that kind of understood, and it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, that's the other one I find sometimes is people go, oh, you know, media studies, all you do is watch films and you sit around and you don't actually do anything educational, and it and I get that from other teachers, other educators sometimes, and you go, but if I was an English teacher and all we did was read books, no one would criticize me because you need a breadth of understanding, and there's an idea that people come with a breadth of understanding, and that's not true, you know. That doesn't mean you understand how a TV show is formatted or how a film is composed, that sounds pretentious, but you know how that is framed, constructed, and because you can watch it and enjoy it doesn't necessarily mean you understand it.
Right Yeah, and so, I don't know, I guess my frustration this week that I was going to start talking about at the beginning of the episode, we kind of got to, and that's, it seems like people don't want to accept the responsibility to kind of learn from themselves, and that a lot of learning has to take place outside of the classroom. A lot of development has to take place outside of the classroom. So I'm hoping your students are maybe a little bit more eager to learn and to take criticism.
I hope your students are a little bit more eager to learn, Stephen. I imagine it's the same level.
I'm sure. But it's sad that my students are, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 years older than your students, so.
Yes, that is a tiny bit sad. Unfortunately, sounds awful, but education is wasted on the youth. The older you are, the more you appreciate it.
You think, I mean, we joke about that, but in another 10 years for you, you're gonna sit there and go, wow, when I was 30, I didn't know as much as I did when I was 40, and I wish I knew now what I knew then, because it would totally change how you approach things. And it really is these things where I sit there and I try to explain something to students or to, you know, just kind of inform and talk about kind of stuff, not kind of like dictating to people. But they just have this attitude, especially, and again, this is old man Schleicher here, where it's like the young kids think they know so much more and they don't.
Yeah. Well, isn't there, there's a theory, sorry to get, this is getting really educated.
No, go ahead. Here, but no, I'm sure. I mean, we still have people watching the show, so.
It's called things like the zone of ignorance, and that, like, it's literally like the less you know about a subject, the more you think you know about a subject,
right?
Until you reach a point where you go, oh, I don't know as much of this as I think I do. And I think I find, especially with slightly younger students, that's really difficult, because they go, oh, I watch YouTube all the time, I know how that works. And I'm like, have you looked at the metrics? Do you know how the advertising works? Do you know how these people make money out of this? And they're suddenly like, oh, or they either stop and think about it, or they go, I don't care, I know enough about this already. You know, I think I already know everything about this that I need to know. And then you go, why did you choose this subject?
Right, because
you're wrong, unfortunately. Yeah. And you know, I don't make like blanket decisions at young ages about whether they're wrong. I mean, I've got a guy at the moment. He's been a colleague of mine has taught him for the last 2 years, and he's been nothing but a nightmare. He's now in my class mainly, and he's great, and he's working really well. Yeah. And so no preconceptions on students, but sometimes you do think when you chose this class with the most closed-minded attitude you could have possibly ever come to a lesson with, being like, yeah, I've watched TV, I know everything about TV.
Excellent. Well, Paul, before we go off to, because we're almost done with the show this week, there's a site that I want everybody, there's a YouTube video that I want everybody to go watch. I just got turned on to this by Lar D'Souza, who does some artwork stuff. The video channel is called Easel Monster, okay? Easel Monster is this little puppet art show, and it's fascinating, but the episode that I want everybody to watch is called Learning How to Draw Paint by Monster is the name of it. And basically he has a song that tells you you're not great yet. And it is fascinating and great. And I think people should go check it out. It's on YouTube. Just go look up Easel Monster. It's this guy I want to say Indiana or something, doing this. But it's got a great little song that I think puts a lot of what we've been talking about in discussion, where kids have been told that they're great and they're fantastic and they're super smart, but really they're not great until they've gone through the blood, sweat, and tears of learning, making mistakes and learning from those mistakes and bettering themselves.
Yes. I think I'm on the same page as you. I will check out Easel Monster as soon as we're done.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Paul. Have a good weekend.
You too, Stephen. Been absolutely lovely talking to you.
Oh, it was great talking to you. This was the phone calls today from everyone has just turned my mood around, because literally an hour and 20 minutes ago, this was my face. That was my face an hour and 20 minutes ago. But since the very beginning, Bill calling in and talking about his experience at New York Comic Con has put me in a good mood. James calling in, and then Paul calling in and sharing his thoughts. Whoops, let me get off the video there. I'm in a much better mood. So yes, an hour ago I was like this. Now I'm much happier. And that's something that you guys do. And I think that's part of why I like Finally Friday, because this show isn't about me. This show isn't about things that I want to talk about. It's things about that you guys want to talk about and that you want to share. And sometimes I really hope that it's a reflection on things that have happened this week in comic books and pop culture, but you saw how this conversation just went totally into an education area. And I found it fascinating. I hope you found it fascinating. I'm sure you will by using the comment section down below, or you can give me a call, 785-727-1939. It looks like we have about 5 minutes left if someone else out there wants to jump on board. There was one other thing I wanted to at least show you. I'm not even going to go on my rant this week because I don't need to anymore, because I'm in a better mood. But I got my story cubes in, and I imported them all the way from England because they weren't available at the time that I ordered them up on Amazon yet. But my Rory's Story Cubes Batman dice came in. I don't have them. They're buried in a bag somewhere at the moment. But look at how beautiful these things are. You got the dice that have the villains like the Joker and Scarecrow and Riddler and Catwoman, and you've got a bunch of the bat devices on it, and then some of the sidekick characters like Robin and Commissioner Gordon and just all these little plot things. I bet I want to kind of tease Scott Snyder with one of these. I could bet that you could probably come up with some great ideas for writing a Batman comic just from those story dice. So that is going to be a challenge to some people out there. One last phone call. Who is this and where are you from?
Hi, it's me, Corey. I probably called the other week before about, I told you about Boss Monster and I also told you about my game.
So what's on your mind this week?
I was laughing at the few episodes that you recently came out with, especially with Orm becoming Muscle Man.
It's interesting. It's interesting. And I will get those character sheets up on the Major Spoilers VIP site probably this weekend. So
now, I didn't hear when I was watching the episode. Did he get like a strength boost or anything?
He did. And it's really, as you listen to what happens going forward, you will see that there are definitely some attribute changes, some skills changes that have occurred in this new world. I don't want to give too much away, but like I said, I will try to get the character sheet out this weekend and you'll really be able to see what those changes are and how, and then going forward, you'll be able to hear how those changes impact things like battle, fighting, basic skills, those kinds of things. So
That's cool. By the way, I found out what the name of the monster that I told you about the zombie spider was. It's called a death web. And they're basically a zombie spider that has, the insides are gone. They're just, it's only the hollow shell of a spider. And when you look at it from above, there's like a crack that goes all the way across to the back.
Uh-huh.
And out comes a swarm of spiders.
Ugh.
Imagine fighting three of those, and they have these swarms coming out of them, and after
that
you kill the swarms, they come right back out of the body, and that would be a nightmare for Orm to see those things.
I don't know. I think, I'm pretty sure we have the character sheets, and this is something else that people might want to think about when they become a Major Spoilers VIP, is at the end of last season, we had the Critter Army, where I played... mangy dog character.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a lot more to that character than what was revealed during the actual show, including the fact that there's a different form for that animal. So people might want to go check that out. I think those character sheets are up on the website somewhere. But it's the reason why I mention that is because one of the things that character could do was basically have a swarm of bugs or whatever come out of his fur and attack people. So as soon as you said spiders coming out of a husk, that pretty much creeped me out for the rest of the week. Thanks for that.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
Anything else that's on your mind before we get out of here this weekend?
Yeah, I'm surprised that Matthew didn't make a joke about you when you're a fly is a sheet of paper. Hey, let's make Orm into a paper airplane.
Let's
do Orm Gully.
Yep. Well, I'm pretty sure that if you go back and listen to the intros from either last week or the week before, that you'll know exactly what this episode's about.
Yeah. Well, I hope you have a good time with your game right now. I know in my game today, we're going about to fight a room full of golems. So we're going to be they have really high defenses most of the time.
No, we haven't played in probably, it's probably been about a month and a half now because Rodrigo has made his move up to Seattle and we haven't had a chance to get everything set up and rescheduled. So I think we're going to probably do that in the next 2 weeks to start up again. So. It'll be fun, but we've got...
Well, I hope you do.
Well, I think if I remember correctly, we have shows now in the can that will take us basically through the end of the year, or pretty close to the end of the year. Because I think we're at 319 this week, and I know we have 4-8. So yeah, we've basically got two more months of shows that we've already got recorded, so that will help us
That's good to hear.
With that buffer space. I don't like to have a short buffer space. I don't like... having a recording schedule the same week that an episode has to come out for a variety of different reasons. But sometimes that happens, but what I'm trying to do, and especially like with top five, we have shows that are now banked all the way through the end of January. And we're going to continue to do that so that when we do have people that are gone for extended periods of time for whatever reason, we still have content that we can produce for our listeners like you.
True. That's all, the holidays are coming up, and I hope you have a good holiday. Speaking of which, on the end of this month on Halloween weekend, we're going to the Renaissance Festival.
Hey, awesome. It's been forever since I've been to a Renaissance Festival. I would like to go again. And my kids are, I think by the time my oldest turns about 10 or 11, which is about two more years from now, I think we will make a trek to the one up in Kansas City if they're still doing that, or the one in Denver, just so that they can experience that, because I think they'd have a lot of fun with it.
Oh, they will, especially with all the people in their costumes. They're last year, man, there was one guy, he was in a giant costume. Basically, he's like this enormous scarecrow pumpkin guy. He had a huge head that glowed and eyes and everything. And he had these long arms and literally, you know, like wood-like arms. And it was just, wow, this guy did a lot of work to get that thing up.
Sounds like fun.
There was some, there were some a lot of great costumes out there. And I think your kids would love to see all these people in weird costumes and probably take pictures and everything. There's all these different shops that seem these all these interesting art pieces and jewelry and everything. I'm sure your wife will like the jewelry.
Yeah.
And there's all these interesting foods. Like, I'm pretty sure you'll probably find one that's selling mead or a giant turkey leg.
I love the giant turkey legs.
Yeah, so I'm sure you and your wife will have a good time dressing up and everything.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Have a great time at your Renaissance Festival, and we will talk with you later. Thanks so much. And thank you, viewers and listeners around the world over on Alpha Geek Radio or watching on the YouTube channel or in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network master feed. So much stuff going on. We enjoy producing all of this for you. Just a reminder over at members.majorspoilers.com, this weekend is the VIP live chat for all of our gold members. So if you are a gold member, whoops, don't want to open that one. If you're a gold member, then tune in on Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Oops. And Matthew and I will be here. You can talk to us about anything that you want. It's a little bit different than the Finally Friday show because you can actually talk to us about, you know, things that are going on behind the scenes or whatever, and we can talk with you about that most of the time, unless there's stuff that hasn't been revealed yet. But if you're a Gold VIP member, thank you so much. If you're not a Gold VIP member, plenty of time still to sign up. It is because of our VIP members that I'm able to do a show like this Finally Friday with you every week. It's because of VIPs that we're able to. I think I tweeted this out earlier, and I actually tweeted it out wrong. We released 9 podcasts this week, right? Audio shows and 2 video shows this week. For everyone. And of course, we've got the Major Spoilers website, and we're trying to keep up with a lot of the New York Comic Con stuff that we have going on. But we're only able to do this thanks to great support from fine viewers like you. I know that sounds a little NPR or public television related, but it's true. It actually really is true. All right. I think that wraps it up. Thank you again so much. Have a great weekend. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. You have certainly put me in a better mood, so thank you very much. And as we get out of here this week, let's take a look at some of the VIPs that make this show possible. Take care, everyone. We'll see you soon.